You know, I look like a moron.
You don't look like a moron. And hello, happy Wednesday. It's February 12th, 2025, and you're locked in with your friends, Kaboli and Mac. As you can see, Kaboom, king of the virtual backgrounds, is with his favorite friend, Jacob Fatu. I love you, Solo. I am Chris Mack. We are presented by Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K. Dan Heck and the team at Heck Team Homes going to take care of you if you're looking to buy or sell a home. Part of buying or selling a home, finding a community to live in as well. And they are helping the community, Heck Team, with the Whitehall Fire Company. They're trying to raise some funds for their fire hall. They're raffling off a 2025 Ford F-150 STX to raise money for the fire hall. Tickets are only $45 too. You can go to whitehallfire301.com and get your tickets there. I also tweeted it out just a couple minutes ago. Sorry, X'd it out, posted it, whatever the hell it's called. It's on social media, and we'll pop it up there a few more times later today as well. But WhitehallFire301.com if you want to go buy that ticket directly to help raise funds for the Whitehall Fire Company. That's a big boy truck, Kaboom. Yes. A 25 Ford F-150 STX.
Yeah, you know, I really want a truck. Really want a truck.
You should buy a raffle ticket then.
Yeah, that's about the only way I'm going to get one right now. You know, my one car is not paid off for another year or so.
So
you're not having two car payments. Nah.
Yeah, no. If you got one paid off, once they're paid off, you got to ride them out as long as you can, man. You can't go messing around with
I got about 10, 11 months, whatever it is.
Okay, so just go buy the raffle ticket and maybe you win it. It's going to be a good one, too, from Schultz Ford South in West Mifflin. So the Dan Heck team asking you to support the community and the Whitehall Fire Company. Whitehall Fire Hall raffling off a 2025 Ford F-150 STX. Tickets just $45. Again, whitehallfire301.com to buy one directly. We're going to talk quarterbacks, whether it be rookies or guys who may be out there otherwise. We're going to talk Ireland because I think something – you said to me in response to a story I sent you yesterday has opened up a world of possibilities for diehard Irish yinzers who are thinking about this game in Dublin this fall, and it could be massive. We're even going to talk hockey today. Our mutual friend Josh Yowie of The Athletic is going to stop by and tell you why you are a hockey heathen if you are not tuning in to watch the Four Nations face-off, which actually starts tonight on TNT with two Penguins going head-to-head. Team Canada, obviously captained by Sidney Crosby, who, according to all reports, is healthy in their practices, looking good, going up against Team Sweden, and the newly added to that roster, Rickard Rakell, who's having, I don't know, probably his best year as a Penguin so far. We'll ask Yowie how much longer he's going to be a Penguin, Ricky Racks as well. Talk to him about a couple other issues. Why do you keep changing the background? Stay with werewolf.
I'm all blurry. I don't know what's going on here.
You always have this issue when you mess around. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and we can give more details about this when we get closer to making it official. But I was talking to someone yesterday about the stuff I have on the wall behind me. And I'm like, it's just old posters from when I was a kid. It's a 1979 Steelers poster and a 1991 Penguins poster. And then something I got secondhand when I worked at ESPN Radio back in the day, that picture up there of the Steelers winning Super Bowl 40 at Ford Field in Detroit. It's all just old stuff that I happen to have. And they're like, no, we got to get you guys good stuff to have up on the wall behind you. But they were like, but then again, Kaboli, he just always has the virtual background.
Well, I have the virtual background because if not, this is what we got.
What do you got? I want to see what's really behind you.
What's really behind me is that.
Okay, there's nothing.
It's like a wall.
Yeah, it's just a plain wall. I mean, it's a nice kitchen. Nice looking kitchen you got, by the way.
What in the world is going on? I mean, once again, why am I blurry? I'm trying to wipe this off.
You got a lot of light. There you go. You're good now. You had a lot of light coming in there. I think you just had to, what do the camera guys call it? White balance things. Hold I think on, that's what you this. Had to do.
Let me see. You good? How about I shut the light off? Like, it makes a difference?
I think it helps, actually. Yeah. All right, so real quick, I do want to, like I said, talk quarterbacks, and I want to talk about some of the stuff out there about Ireland that we've been thinking about. But I don't know. Help me make sense of the big changes at 3400 South Water Street being the shuffling of a bunch of assistant coaches. We knew Aaron Curry, the linebackers coach, had left for the Jets. We find out yesterday that I guess Grady Brown didn't have his contract renewed. He was the defensive backs coach because they hired Gerald Alexander to be the new defensive backs coach. And Pat Meyer, it sounds like, is going to be sticking around as well, the offensive line coach. And they're interviewing some guy who was the linebackers coach in Dallas this year, Scott McCurley. These are the big changes, Kaboom. Look out. Super Bowl 60, here we come.
Yeah, you know, I'm just looking at a story that was published by the Steelers.com 2 years ago, you know, a week past 2 years ago, and how they were just absolutely kissing the rear end of Grady Brown,
yeah,
who was then the defensive coordinator of the Senior Bowl that year, the up-and-comer. You know, and then people even reached out and say, hey, what makes a coach an up-and-comer? Well, if you're the defensive coordinator at the Senior Bowl after your first year in the league, that gives you a pretty good indication of what the people around the league think of him. So that's why.
But didn't he go to the Senior Bowl this year, too? They dragged them all the way to Mobile, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Unless he has something worked out in New Orleans, right? Is that
where he's going?
I don't know. I'm just saying, unless he has something else worked out here. But you got two of your younger coaches, and everybody you talked to spoke glowingly of Aaron Curry. He did the sideways move. He did the sideways move where there was no real ties to the Jets. No Aaron Glenn, nothing that he had tied. He didn't play for the Jets. So why do you move there? Not from New York.
Right.
And now Grady Brown just does not get his contract renewed. Especially the last episode of Hard Knocks, when you see him telling, hey, this is what I need from you next year, Joey Porter Jr. I need you to become the dog. Something happened, right?
This is what and you get mad at those that pay too much attention to the coaching staff and where people move on to and the coaching tree and all that kind of stuff. But this is why people get annoyed by it, because as you pointed out, these were two of the younger, more up-and-coming head coaches that they had on the staff, and they're both gone. That doesn't seem to bode well for the development of those position groups or the coaches or the rest of the coaching staff, for that matter.
Yeah. I mean, they replaced Gerald Alexander, a guy who left. You know, he left to become the Raiders coach. If they liked him so much, they would have found a way to keep him around then. It seemed like they just went back to something that they felt familiar with. I mean, I'm not going to tell you I know how great of a coach Gerald Alexander is, right? I mean,
yeah. Look, I mean, I don't want to take anything away from NFL positional assistants, because I think some of them can have a big impact. I think some of them, I don't want to say, are just catching a paycheck, and I'm not accusing anybody in this situation of being at either end of the spectrum. But like, I get it. Their impact, I don't want to say, is minimal. It's also not necessarily massive either. They can help, you know, I think especially with young offensive linemen, you can help an offensive lineman a lot, or you can help young guys with technique when they first come out, things like that, right? But these are not the kind of moves that are earth-shattering. It's just weird to me that here we are again, and you mentioned the press release 2 years ago about bringing Grady Brown in. It's like every year what we get are, you know, it's moving pawns in chess rather than making the big moves to actually affect some sort of something.
Well, plus, I mean, it sure hammers home the notion that we all know, right? These are guys on expiring contracts. These aren't guys getting fired.
Right.
For the most part, right? They're not getting fired, because if they were still had one more year left on their contract, they'd probably still be here.
And I just, it doesn't, I don't know. To be honest, those are the two position groups I was worried least about on this defense, the linebackers and the secondary. I'm more worried about up front. But
hey, on the flip side now, let's look at, okay, Grady Brown was the up-and-comer, but Joey Porter didn't have a good year this year. I mean, he didn't excel in the year two. He flattened, right?
Okay, fair.
So maybe that had something. I mean, Minka didn't play well. I mean, he was the entire secondary coach. So maybe they're like, wait a second, this is just not working out. Whatever you're teaching is just not working. Let's go in a different direction. Now, Gerald Alexander's your answer. Like I said, sure. I mean, you're just as good as the next guy. Who do we know? I mean, how do we know, right? I don't even know. I haven't really did a deep dive on the safeties of the Raiders from the past year or two, where he came from.
Yeah, I don't know. This is why people choose, I think, sometimes, though, to harp on this kind of stuff, the assistant coaches, because they look and go, really? That's the biggest move on the coaching staff of the offseason, and they walk away feeling like, I get it. Especially the day after a playoff loss or whatever it may be, we all just want blood and we want heads to roll and we want to see somebody pay the price. I get all that, but it just struck me as doing very little. Like I said, moving pawns on the chessboard rather than making any major moves that actually need to be made. And you're right. Yoey is running probably just 2 or 3 minutes late. You nailed that.
Maybe we should talk to Justin E., who's like hammering our comment line.
We appreciate it. Justin E.'s all over it.
Shout out for going this hard.
Yeah, Justin E. on YouTube. You can comment on YouTube, on X, on Instagram, on Facebook, wherever you see the live stream. And, of course, you can always leave comments after the fact on YouTube as well, because it'll go up as soon as we are done. He loved your Jacob Fatu background, though. And apparently, Justin E. I was going to say, Justin is the kind of guy that watches every wrestling show all week long, it sounds like, because we got tough. Ricky Stark's comments.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to watch it all. I mean, you have to draw your line somewhere, at least even me. I'm not going to the AEW. I'm not going to New Japan. I'm not going to any of that stuff.
They're doing a good job bringing people around onto NXT, though, right? Like, to give you a reason to watch. They keep doing that.
Yeah, I mean, they're throwing stars there now. I mean, yeah. Bayley's been there every single day, week for the past. I mean, I think The Rock was on it after the Netflix, so.
He was.
Plus, they have a good show coming up, I think, on Friday or Sunday, sort of like the old school, they used to do it back in the day where they brought the young guys in and brought some of the stuff.
Oh, the one that's on A&E, LFG.
Yeah.
Legends and Future Greats, they're calling
it. Yeah, what was it called back in the day? Like,
it was called NXT. Tough enough. Yeah.
Which is always very entertaining in the years.
No, this actually does look really good. What is it? Sunday, 8 o'clock on A&E. I think
it's an hour and a half. Undertaker.
Booker T. Yeah. I saw Gunther stops by in the first episode. Punk stops by in the first episode.
You'd be like, hey, Gunther, what's up? You're terrible on the mic and give you a chop. I would love to see
that. I would die. If he gave me a single chop, my heart would stop and I would die. Thanks to Southwest Greens for sponsoring Kabali and Mac as well. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Why? Because, I don't know, maybe your kids are like mine and they go out and play regardless of how cold or wet out it is. And they track half the yard back in with them in the form of mud, just like my kid did the other day. Your kid do that, Kaboom? Does he go out regardless of how wet or cold out it is and play outside?
I make them take the shoes off before they come in.
They take the shoes off, but it doesn't matter. Like, our kid has literally had his winter coat washed three times in the last 4 days because he goes out and plays on the hill and in the backyard, and there's mud all over it. If we had a Southwest Greens yard, we wouldn't have to worry about all the mud. We wouldn't have to water it. We wouldn't have to cut it or maintain it or spray nasty chemicals all over it. We would just have a beautiful green lawn, not brown in the winter and dead ass yellow in the summer when everything dries up. We would have a gorgeous green lawn, usable year round without all the mud. You want that, and you're big time like Kaboom. You go to southwestgreenspa.com and tell them Kabali and Mac sent you, and Jake will get in touch and talk to you exactly about how you can make it happen, especially if you're a big golfer. Even if you're not looking to do the whole yard, you can even do like a little putting green in the corner of the yard. Masters is what, less than 2 months away now. People going to get all psyched about golf. Southwestgreenspa.com, the place to go for all that.
The big thing is, Mac, is the old trampoline. I bet you they can make up some kind of nice trampoline that, grass underneath the trampoline that leads to your house or something like that, so you don't have to have once again, grass drugging.
So you're not killing the grass underneath the trampoline. You're right.
Trampoline. That was my Archie Bunker. That's how he's.
Stifle it. Stifle it. Wouldn't you eat it? Eh, meathead. Yeah, we got rid of the trampoline a couple years ago. We just.
Those are dangerous, right?
They are dangerous. They're very dangerous. And our kid had brain surgery a couple years ago. And we're like, hey, probably don't want to go bouncing around on a trampoline with like hardware in your brain. Probably a bad idea. So we gave it to the neighbors. And now they get to deal with
kids. Now he goes over there and does it.
We try not to let him do it. Yeah. Josh Yowie of The Athletic is going to join us shortly. But he's doing very big things getting ready for the Four Nations tournament that starts tonight with Canada against Sweden. Want to ask him about Sid, about Raquel, about Gino, about someone else that may be coming back to town in the next month or two. You had a fascinating thought. And I don't think it was a fully formed thought. We'll get to quarterbacks in a couple minutes.
Never have a fully formed thought.
No, but you're really good at like the nugget or kernel of a really good thought and just planting it in someone else's brain and letting it bloom or germinate or whatever the hell you call it. So I sent you, you know, that website UniWatch. They're always looking to see about teams changing uniforms and coming out with third jerseys and all that kind of stuff. So the Steelers were one of a few teams that was approved in the last week by the league to add what they call a third jersey. Or another jersey or another shell for the helmet this coming season. Now, they've already been approved for a second shell, which means a yellow helmet could be in play, right? We remember when they had those about a decade ago. It was a throwback, a nod to the 62 team, I think. That could be in play. There's also something really interesting in play that you mentioned Ireland, right? Like they're going to Dublin. They're going to be the home team at Croke Park for a regular season game. What if they did something to honor Dan Rooney with the jerseys for the Ireland game? Like, what if they took the DMR cloverleaf from when he passed away in 2017 and, like, put it on the side of the helmet? Like a white helmet. What if Irish, even wannabe Irish yinzers, would go nuts for this. What if the Steelers came out in like all white unis with green numbers, like true third jerseys? Would Yinzers hate it or would Yinzers love it?
Wow. Of course, I don't think they would go to that extreme of changing their entire uniform for this. But the helmet thing, if you recall, I think it was a couple years ago. I mean, for many years, they were only allowed to use one helmet because of the concussion issues. They finally figured out, hey, we can do it. Everybody got fitted helmets now to their skull. It's not like old school when we played, you know, it would be hard as a rock. And
yeah, they put a soup bowl on your head and tied a string between your ears and said, go out there, kid.
The imagery of your head and it's exactly fits your body or your head size and everything perfect. So you look at the history. I mean, you throw any other team on here, and you have a dozen different options, right? The Pittsburgh Steelers basically have had two helmets in their career. The current one in some variation or form, right? Maybe, you know, the logo is a little different, or the yellow one. Mm-hmm. What else have they really had? They already did the yellow one for 4 to 6 years. So what's left?
White.
And where are they going? I don't know. I would be able to find out.
I've seen plenty of mock-ups over the years on the internet of really sharp-looking white helmets with, like, just a basic black Steelers logo on the side, you know, and all-white unis, all-white pants, all-white everything.
I would be disappointed. I'm not a big polar bear guy.
No? See, I think all-white can look really crisp and really sharp.
Just white. Terrible.
Okay. So what's
you went to Penn State, so I understand.
It has nothing to do with Penn State. Has nothing to do with Penn State. All white unis just look sharp. That's all.
They look white.
They look crisp. They look clean.
No. Yeah, I want some color in my uniforms.
Okay, so what about it's wild.
I haven't wore white pants since like 1967. You think they're going to?
They wear white pants with the black. They wore white pants a couple times with the black jersey.
Well, white on, you know what I'm talking about, white on white. Well, what did they wear white with? The
they had the, white the pants a couple ones. Times with some throwback jerseys.
They haven't wore the legit white on white stuff since Joe Green played the Eagles and punched that guy in the crotch.
I mean, would we have a problem with that if Cam Hayward went off and punched somebody in the junk in the middle of the game? Maybe that's the kind it's of fire they need.
I'm disappointed.
Okay, so what do you want to see then? If they're going to bring out a new jersey, which they've been approved to do, and which NFL team doesn't want to make a little more cha-ching from the marketing dollars of selling some new apparel, the only other thing I can think of, right? They've done all black. For the color rush, right? With the gold numbers. They've done throwback block numbers, which still should be permanent, by the way, in my opinion. They've done the yellow helmets like we talked about. Don't do all yellow. That's you're going to look like a mustard bottle. I'm telling you, do something crazy. Come out in all white with green with the DMR clover leaf on the side of the helmet.
Yeah, just instead of the hypercycloids, just put them clover leaves.
Yeah.
But once again, the whole goal here is to sell, right?
Right.
You're going to use that once.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you use it once. You use it once, people are still going to buy it.
Don't they have that helmet out there somewhere? Like a fake version of it?
Really? Is there a Photoshop out there somewhere?
I think I've seen it somewhere.
Of the DMR cloverleaf on the side of the helmet?
Something like that.
I'd love to see that. Unless
it was just somebody's, a guy I used to work with used to make up different kits for soccer.
They all look the same to me. Are you English now? Are you British? Oi, mate, I love your kit.
Yeah, that was Australia. I always do that before the game. Steelers kits will be black sweaters.
Ryan on Twitter might have to face a lifetime ban. It's asking for them to bring back the Bumblebee jerseys. Yeah, the worst things in existence.
Especially if you're trying to cover the game and actually see who has the ball.
It's impossible.
The numbers were really tiny.
Numbers were like this big. I don't know. I would be okay with just once, because they're in Ireland as the home team, you go out there all white with green piping and green numbers and the DMR clover leaf on the side. It sounds radical and crazy, and there would be some yinzers who would hate it. I think it would be cool for one game.
I'm looking up different helmets right now, and there's some really bad ones from the Steelers people come up with. The Lunar Eclipse one. Oh, my goodness.
Lunar Eclipse? What?
It's white with, I don't know. I'm just Googling Steelers helmets.
All right. Let's talk quarterbacks then while we wait for Yoey to show up.
Is he on Central Time or what?
I don't know where the hell he is. I asked if he was going up for the games in Montreal and Boston. I don't know if he is or not. Maybe he's traveling. Maybe he's a busy guy, Yoey, covering the Pittsburgh Penguins. Let's talk quarterbacks. Did you see the mock draft from Field Yates at ESPN yesterday that had Jackson Dart of Ole Miss going in the first round to the Steelers? You going to give it the fart noise too, or just a thumbs down?
Isn't that another Archie Bunker? Jackson Dart, you really think he's going to go in the first round? Well, he could go in the first round.
So I've had people tell me that he's going to be a combine baby, that he's the guy, big arm, athletic, all that kind of stuff, who's going to go to the combine, look super athletic and great in shorts in Indy and shoot up draft boards and be right there with Sanders and Ward in the top 10.
Just like Malik Willis, huh?
Yeah, maybe.
Nah, I mean, I don't bother.
I don't like taking any of these quarterbacks in the first round.
See?
For anybody. No, but I understand people are going to do it.
This is what happens. You get these national pundits, experts say, what do the Steelers need the most? Oh, they need a quarterback because of Russell and Justin. Let's throw this guy out there. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that they would go and go that route whatsoever. 21st overall pick for a quarterback that's, probably worse than Kenny Pickett. I mean, at that spot, right? I'm not wasting the pick there, especially when you need you know, when you got other needs right there, the receiver, defensive line, cornerback, or whatever, you have to put it into perspective of who's going to be out there and what you need. And I just don't – I mean, if he's in the second round or third round, come talk to me. But
no, I mean, I do think Dart will be better or has a chance to be better than Pickett.
Man, I thought Matt Corral was going to be good, so –
That's true. Maybe it's something about the Lane Kiffin offense in Oxford. But I like our buddy Mark Malone. This is big, by the way, this show. For those of you that are new to Cabali and Mac, we are big for former Steelers quarterbacks of the 80s and 90s coming through and leaving comments on the YouTube. Mark Malone says, draft Howard and Shuck in rounds 3 through 5. Here's the problem with this, with all these guys. I think Dart is slightly better than the bunch I'm about to name, and probably not too far behind Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. None of those guys are first-round picks. They're all second- and third-round picks, in my opinion. All the other guys that people are going to mention and have been mentioning, Tyler Shuck from Louisville, Kyle McCord from Syracuse, Will Howard from Ohio State. I'm sure there are a few others out there like those three. They are all Will Levis without the mayonnaise. That's all they are. Like they're high-end backups at best in their NFL careers. I don't like any of them unless it's like the fifth round and there's literally no one else on the board that you like.
I mean, I got confused when you said something about mayo.
Will Levis has the mayonnaise thing. You don't remember that?
No. What is it?
Do you not pay attention to anything other than the game between the lines? You're so straight.
I don't pay attention to Mayo and Will Levis. What did he
Will do? Levis was the weirdo that put mayonnaise in his coffee.
Okay.
What? Wait. Before we get in, we're gonna take half a step back.
Drinking some
coffee. Are you gonna sit here and contend that mayonnaise in your coffee is normal?
I thought you meant putting when you said mayonnaise, just people that put mayonnaise on. I call it mayonnaise, by the way.
Mayonnaise.
Because you know what? If you break it down, you call it mayo. So all of a sudden, if you say the full word, it's mayonnaise. No, it doesn't. It's mayonnaise, not mayonnaise turned into mayonnaise. But I thought you were talking about on a sandwich, a little extra taste or something. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay.
I don't pay attention to what people put in their coffee.
It was a huge thing when he was at the combine a couple years ago.
Huge. I was at the combine and I didn't think
you weren't paying attention then, were you?
Not to Will Levis's mayonnaise.
Anyway, all of those guys we just mentioned: Will Howard, Tyler Shuck, Kyle McCord.
They're all backups.
They're all Will Levis's. That's what they are.
I don't know about their significant others, but. Yeah, they're backups. They're backups at best. Career backups. They're Mason Rudolphs. They're Kenny Picketts. I mean, they're Carson Wentz. Not Carson Wentz. What's the guy's name now?
Carson Wentz has kind of turned out to be that too.
The guy that's all over the place. I mean, Blaine Gabbert. The guy that does the darn podcast now.
The guy that does
Chase Daniels. He's the Chase Daniels of the world.
Oh, okay.
He has about 200 career throws in his 15-year career.
Right.
That's
all of them. So, like, again, if there's one there in the fifth or, you know, late third day of the draft and you don't have anybody else on the board that you like, maybe. But all these quarterbacks, this is the era of overdrafting quarterbacks. So Cam Ward's going to go, you know, first or second overall. Shedeur Sanders is going to go in the top 5 or 10. And then somebody's going to take Jackson Dart in the back third of the first round. And then all these other clowns are going to go in the second and third round. And we're going to look up in 3 or 4 years and maybe one or two of them will be starters. And it won't be any of the guys that go in the third round or later. Like, there is no Tom Brady in this draft. I love holding out hope that maybe there is one and maybe you can get one, but let's be serious. Like, that's you don't waste picks on that unless literally there is nothing else on the board that you like.
Yeah. I mean, you might as well better off sign Justin Fields, Russell Wilson. Well, apparently not Aaron Rodgers can, if you're listening to Sean Elliott.
Yeah, he's not a man.
He would need to get off that social media because every time he tweets something, he gets himself into some hot water. I see TMZ writing a story about it now. I'm sure they love
that. What about his what exactly did he say about Aaron Rodgers?
Go to a retirement home.
Yeah, so he's not interested in Rodgers, Deshaun.
Right. And then you remember last year, didn't he like put up a picture of Tomlin and called him Osama Tom, whatever, Ben Tomlin. You remember that? He got in water over that.
Yes, I do. He's got heavy Mike Mitchell vibes, Deshaun Elliott.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he gives zero, you know what. Which is, there's something to that, playing that position. Because there's a lot of guys that are like that.
Yeah, again, Mike Mitchell, same position 10 years ago. Same kind of attitude of no Fs to give and just run around out there. And that's why I kind of like the way Elliott plays, to be honest. I really liked him this year. More often than not, like 80-90% of the time, he's playing well.
He could, in his second year, I think he could take more, not of a vocal leadership, but a leadership quality where people now say, okay, shut up. I'm not listening to you, first-year guy. I think he has that pizzazz to be able to get some people's attention.
Absolutely.
It's just his personality.
He loves to lay big hits. I think he does a great job sticking with tight ends underneath, a better job than a lot of safeties they've had in recent years, or L. Edmonds. I really like Elliott, what he provides, not just run support, but just coverage just underneath as well.
On Mike Mitchell. You know, I think Mike Mitchell was the most misunderstood player the Steelers had in the past 15 years. Why? He's a guy that this city should have loved. He ran his mouth, talked crap, knocked people out, hit hard, but people just didn't like him, which is strange to me.
There are some great locker room videos, though, of Mike Mitchell getting pissed off and going on rants. I think you're always good for the reaction in the background. You always make a face when somebody says something crazy.
Wait. I was the only one that actually videotaped that and posted that, the old Mike Mitchell, Matt Hasselbeck's an asshole one, you know. That's right. So if you look.
You couldn't be in the background of that one because you were filming it.
It was great. I posted it real quick, and locker room was still open. He came back in. He goes, "You should have posted the whole thing." I'm like, "It was Twitter. I can only post so much, man." I think we got the point across.
Mitchell was epic. I want to talk more about quarterbacks, but yeah, Yoey is here now. So,
we're not going to get the Belfont snorkel.
No Belfont snorkel. Yoey has actually showed up. I think he wanted to make you squirm more than he did me.
I saw his tweet about how I was going to be late.
So you just wanted to be extra late?
It occurred to me, I wanted to create the illusion that I had bathed. So I threw some water on my face and my hair so that I would look more presentable for my first appearance on this fine podcast.
This is amazing. If you ever would have told me that there would be a mediocre local sports podcast in 2025 starring three former employees of the McKeesport Daily News, I would have called you crazy.
Well, cream always rises to the top.
It does.
Or it spoils.
I guess there's a lot of ways you could look at that. That is true. This is a McKeesport royalty I'm joined by. Mark Cabali, my boss at McKeesport, in fact, the man who sat right in front of me in the Daily News office for many years.
Yeah, how like being behind the king like that?
I didn't like it. I wanted to be behind, and I wasn't allowed to move my chair. I wanted to be in the power position.
Right. You wanted to move all the pieces around on the chessboard, so to speak, right?
Something like that.
Yeah. Thanks for making the time this morning, Josh. Cabali is a hockey heathen, as I mentioned on social media, and has no interest in what he calls a fake tournament, the Four Nations Face-Off that gets started tonight. I think it's because he's a Russian sympathizer and they are not present for this, but we could talk about that another time. Why should the rest of us actually pay attention to this thing? Besides the fact that Sidney Crosby, you know, is the captain of Team Canada and gets to play against his line mate tonight in Rickard Rakell from Sweden.
I just wrote an article about this like literally an hour ago, and I basically wrote, well, Sid's playing and he's representing Team Canada, and there's something to be said for that. When you look at the greatest Penguins of all time, when you talk about Mario, Jagr, Sid, they all did things internationally that are very important on their respective legacies, whether it be Mario's Canada Cup goal and kind of the passing of the torch, Crosby's golden goal, Jágr winning Olympic gold in 98 with Dominik Hasek and kind of a two-man team. It is a silly tournament, and the fact that Russia is not invited is absurd. It does largely invalidate the tournament, in my opinion. But I would suggest, like, what tournament isn't a made-up tournament? They're all made up. Like the Olympics are made up. It's just the Olympics, so we look at it. It's still, you know, some guys got together and said, oh, let's have a tournament where the best countries play. It's still made up. It'll be good hockey. It'll be worth watching. And I think the biggest thing here will probably be Saturday night. Make sure you take your sweetheart out for Valentine's Day on the actual holiday on Friday, because Saturday night is USA versus Canada, 8 o'clock in Montreal. The atmosphere will be unbelievable. They're probably going to boo the American anthem. It's going to be salty. You know, the French can get very salty sometimes, and it's two hockey nations that don't really love each other. It's become the biggest rivalry in the sport. If you like hockey, I promise it will be worth watching. Mark just doesn't like hockey that much. So
yeah. I love hockey. I just want to know, why would they be booing the national anthem, Josh?
Well, I think there are some political reasons that might be playing a role here, Mark. I don't know. I think you've heard of tariffs.
If you screw this up and get tariffs placed on us, Kabali, for the podcast, it's your ass.
Like, I was with my kids in Canada this weekend. My ex-wife had them dressed in their Canadian T-shirts as only she can, like more than usual. Like, my 12-year-old looked at me and said, yeah, she actually dressed me today. Like, I understand. It's you know, it's the whole U.S.-Canada thing. It's pretty pretty intense at the moment. So, but no, I mean, and they're clearly the two best international hockey teams. Like, the rivalry is great. It's, you know, Mike Sullivan coaching against Sidney Crosby. It'll be entertaining, I have no doubt.
There goes Kabali's email in the middle of a podcast. I was right on schedule.
What I want to know is, what's your feeling on who Pittsburgh's fans, Penguin fans, are going to be rooting for, the Crosby or the country?
I think it's very much divided. You'll recall in 2010 when Canada won Olympic gold, I think everybody in Pittsburgh was kind of mad, and then they saw that it was Sid who scored the goal. Like, oh, okay, we're happy for him at least. If Chris Pronger would have scored that goal, we'd be really mad. I actually conducted a Twitter poll because I must have been really bored or seeking some attention the other day. And I said, Penguins fans,
it's him, not me.
That is totally me. I said, Penguins fans, who are you rooting for? You know, USA or Canada, knowing full well that Sidney Crosby's involved. And I think it was about 60-40 USA. So it's pretty much a mix that kind of adds to the interest. But there's a lot of reasons to watch. I can't wait to watch Erik Karlsson play for Team Sweden. Like, how many times will he turn the puck over? Will they actually let him play in important situations? Or will he actually look good, which will, I think, raise some eyebrows? So,
yeah, I've completely blocked Karlsson from my – like, when I see him out there – I choose to just believe that he's like a computer-generated AI player who doesn't have the name Erik Karlsson. Otherwise, I come close to having an aneurysm every time he's on the ice. It's that difficult to watch at times. Yoey has a podcast as well with Yinzer comedian Joey Bartnick. It's called Two for Talking. Check it out on the social medias and on.
I've done that before. Were you, Mac? No.
I haven't been invited. The guys are very busy. Yoey doesn't do 7 podcasts a week like we do.
The only guests we've ever had were Mark Kabali and Kevin Ertie Stevens. How's that for a duo?
That's a hell of a guest list.
I mean, really, it doesn't get much better than that.
We could be brothers.
if there's two guys I look at and say, separated at birth, it's definitely Kaboom and Ertie.
How many swear words were uttered by Mr. Stevens?
A couple of F-bombs. And we told him, it's fine. You can swear all you want. He's like, really? I'm like, yeah, go for it, Artie.
Well, look at that.
Artie's one of those Artie impersonation. You're pretty good. What's that? Do your Artie impersonation. I want to hear it.
I want a couple cups of Bossy. Oh, Christ. I mean, what are you going to do?
No, Artie's one of those guys who just drops like 5 F-bombs in every sentence randomly. I don't think he knows he does it. EJ is like that too. 89 years old, still going strong. Every other word, he can't help himself.
I love that EJ is still like that.
EJ goes to every home game, drives himself to every home game at 89 years old, just sits there and like Tristan Jarry drives him nuts. Well, not right now, but earlier in the season. So yes.
Just mutters things under his breath. Pretty much. Sid Is Sid totally healthy? I know LeBron said that he looked good in practice yesterday. Or
yeah, I don't think he's 100%. He presumably is feeling much better than he was last week. You know, he wasn't well enough to play in Philly and in New York. I promise you there was something wrong if he couldn't play in those games. Those are two games that he always gets up for. I watched him in practice. It was last Wednesday, I believe. He was on the ice by himself for 45 minutes doing all these drills. He took four shots, and the four wrist shots he took looked like wrist shots I would have taken. Like, there was no velocity at all. It looked uncomfortable for him. It's clearly something wrong with, I don't know if it's the arm or the wrist or the shoulder, but there's something going on there. And I know Pierre reported that, you know, he looked much more comfortable shooting the puck the other day in practice, which is obviously a good thing for Canada and for Sid, but it's worth watching. He hadn't missed a game in 3 years, and to miss two games against two of their biggest rivals, that tells you something was bothering him. And I talked with Crystal Tang about it the other day, and he said, I really feel for Sid. He said, people don't understand the pressure that Canada puts him under in these kinds of tournaments, it being the captain. They've won 25 straight games with him as their captain. Crosby playing for Team Canada all time. Their record is 45-5. So it's quite a legacy, but, you know, going there and showing up, you know, with an arm that isn't fully functional. I don't know if it's quite like at the end of Gladiator when he gets stabbed before he has to, you know, go out into the final fight, but it's clear to me that he's not operating at 100% anyway.
All right. Let's switch gears a little bit here. I'm not going to ask you about Mike Tomlin because I already know this.
Bill Belichick. Why bother? He's great. Yeah.
No, because, you know, you'll get yourself in trouble. Let's go to the Penguins. I am a big Dubas fan. I think he has been put in an absolute terrible situation. Now, I don't know how deep that goes, if it's his doing or whatnot. But what do you think about how he's approaching this now of just stacking draft pick after draft pick after draft pick? And well, does that now put a little pressure on the Genos and the Letang to say, maybe I don't want to be here next year. Maybe I will give up my no movement clause.
It's interesting because, you know, the older guys don't like it. I mean, I would throw Crosby and Mike Sullivan in that. They want to win right now. They don't want to rebuild. And I get it. If you're at the end of your career, why would you want to be a part of that? But I think Dubas is doing great right now. He screwed up his first couple of months on the job. He did. I don't need to tell anyone about Ryan Graves' contract or Tristan Jarry's contract or the Carlson trade. The Carlson trade, at least you got rid of bad deals. So I never really blamed him for that one. It was a worthy effort that just didn't work. But he screwed things up. There's no doubt, because he was trying to keep the big guys happy at the same time. All right, we're gonna spend to the cap. We're gonna bring these guys in to help you win right now, and we'll rebuild on the fly. Ron Hextall tried it, but I'm smarter than Ron Hextall, so I'll pull it off. And he is smarter than Ron Hextall, but he didn't pull it off because it's almost impossible. And starting with the Guentzel trade about a year ago, he said, "You guys aren't gonna like it. Sorry, I'm stockpiling draft picks and prospects because that's what this team needs." And we already see it, Mark. He's got 29 draft picks in the next 3 years. They only used 25 or 27 draft picks in the last 5 years. So they're literally doubling their draft picks, and some of them are really high picks as well. And the Pettersson trade was fantastic to get a first-round pick for Marcus Pettersson and Drew O'Connor, for God's sake. Kyle has some questions to answer in terms of, you know, the free agency signings that he makes, recognizing NHL talent. But in terms of drafting, of identifying young players, he's really good. And I think he's already proven that in Toronto and here. So I think the path that he's on right now is the right one.
You think Raquel is still a Penguin in 3 weeks?
Probably. I don't think he'll see the end of his contract. But the thing is, the cap is going way up starting next season, like way up. And at that point, I think he becomes even more valuable. Teams are going to see him making only $5 million a year for the next 3 years when the cap is going up like it is. And I think the Penguins could get a lot in return for him. So I believe they will trade him at some point. It could happen right now. It wouldn't shock me. I don't think they want to take two 40-goal scorers away from the captain's line in two straight seasons. I know some people say, who cares, you're rebuilding? Well, still, you know, I assure you the great players still like having somebody to play with. And you know, that does play a role in all of this. Do I think Raquel will be traded in the next year or two? Probably. I bet it's more likely at that point. But, man, his value has never been higher than it is at this moment because he has had a spectacular season.
It might be a little bit higher if he does well in this fake tournament.
It might be. See, then the tournament won't seem so made up and fake.
Fake if they get an extra draft pick or two out of the deal.
He's got an extra second-round pick for that. Wow, yeah.
Right.
Okay, here's a good one, Mac. I mean, a lot of people come to this podcast to talk about the Steelers. Josh, what was the most I'm trying to give you a renegade question because I know you've memorized every single time. What is the perfect time to play renegade? Because I know it really upsets you when they play it the wrong time.
Well, first of all, there was one time they played it in the first half. I don't know if you remember when it was. It was the AFC Championship against New England when the Patriots had gone up 24-3 in the first half in 2004. And I remember looking at Mark in the press box. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on the show, so I won't
say that. No, go ahead.
But it was really vulgar. But I mean, you don't
even better.
I said, Jesus Christ, you don't give up, and it's the first half. Like I understand, it's 24-3. That's a sign of desperation. You don't ever play Renegade in the first half. I don't even like it in the third quarter. I think it should pretty much be set for fourth quarter. But it's a game by game situation. You do it when it is required, when it is needed, and we've become so commercialized that I think it happens when, TV timeout, we got a 2-minute window here. Like that, they don't take into account what just happened. And you know what really makes me mad is, and I think it's become pretty much commonplace. Mark's laughing because he sees me getting worked up. I don't like the pre-kickoff renegade because the kickoff has become the single most meaningless play in the National Football League. You got to play it when the defense is literally standing on the field. That's just how I feel. I'm a renegade believer. I don't like all these people say time for a new song. No, it's not. It's Pittsburgh. Let's not act like, you know, we're not stuck in the past a little bit. I think Renegade's the perfect song for them, but it loses its luster when it's implemented improperly.
Yeah, I don't remember the first half Renegade. That's
well, they played it's a Chiefs Christmas Day game when they were down 17, and I think I heard some boos.
And understandably so. What an embarrassment. You don't play it when you're getting your ass kicked.
No.
You don't play it when you're kicking the other team's ass. That's my opinion. And I know some people say, well, I wanted to hear Renegade. I paid $400 for my ticket. I understand that. But it's a special thing that, you know, is I think overused at times. Kind of like, is Pittsburgh Dad a sponsor of your guys?
No.
Okay. It's kind of like I was at a game 10 years ago and like Pittsburgh Dad was every other commercial during the TV timeout, like in the stadium. Like this is a little overkill. This is a little much. That's you got to be careful with that with Renegade.
Wait. Pittsburgh Dad is, he might be our neighbor, Mac.
He is. He lives in Pleasant Hills. Yeah.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah. I see him jogging on Old Clareton Road sometimes.
Really?
Yeah. We have mutual friends.
Oh, I see Dave Molinari walking in Mount Lebanon all the time. So take that.
Yeah, you got some Mount Lebanon legends, Molinari to the Jason Mackeys to the Adam Crowleys.
Wow.
Who else do you
have? Crowley is a legend.
Crowley's lower Mount Lebanon. They don't let him in the nice parts.
He's practically Dormont, that guy.
Yeah. He lives in a tent behind Dormont Pool. So one more thing I want to ask you about. This is kind of flown under the radar, but Yager's last game in Klodno is going to be soon, right?
Yes.
And then he has alluded to some things. I know maybe it's a bridge too far that with FSG looking for investors that maybe he's a part of that. But I do think that if he's going to be back in Pittsburgh this spring, look, this team is a nostalgia act at this point, right? And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with nostalgia, even if Sid still has a lot of gas left in the tank. Give me as much nostalgia as possible. So is there anything big cooked up? Have you heard anything bubbling to the surface about how and when Yager starts to get rolled back into the organization again once he's done over in Czech Republic?
I don't know that it will be ownership, and I don't say this jokingly. I don't know how much money he's lost gambling over the years, but I know it's a lot. So I don't know that he has
a legitimate concern.
I don't, and Rivers Casino is a fine place, by the way. So we got. I don't know that he has like $50 million laying around to throw at FSG to join the ownership group or whatever it would take. It probably would be more than that, actually. I don't know if he has that much capital for such a thing. I do know that the Penguins are really eager to have him back in the organization officially in some capacity. I don't know how Kevin Ackland's departure will hurt that. Penguins president of business operations announced last week that he was resigning. That came as a surprise to a lot of us. And Acklin, more than anybody, had really developed a relationship with Jágr in the last year. They became buddies. One of the reasons Jágr came over to get his number retired and spend all the time here was because Kevin really put in the work getting to know him. Went over to the Czech Republic, or Czechia, excuse me, on a couple of occasions to get to know him even more. So hopefully that won't hurt anything. They want him to be involved, whether it be as, you know, an ambassador and just show up at a game a couple of times a year, work with players in Europe. I've had people in the organization tell me, like, we want him at training camp. We want him working with our prospects. He can teach them. He's, and a lot of people will tell you about Jágr, like, aside from all the talent and all the fascinating just personality that he brings, he's like a hockey savant. He knows the game in ways that other people don't. They actually think he'd be great in terms of teaching younger players too. They'll write the, give him a blank check, whatever he wants, just to be involved in some way. I think it'll happen at some point. I hope that Acklin's departure doesn't slow the process down.
How long have you been covering the Penguins?
15 and a half years.
Nice. August
2009.
Pretty much throughout your entire career, they've been, you know, in the playoff hunt. Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah.
Now the second worst team according to points in the Eastern Conference. How is it covering a crap team, at least where, you know that playoffs are probably not likely? I mean, how do you go about that without just saying, oh my God, here we go again? I'm tired of this.
Asks the guy who hasn't seen the team he covers win a playoff game in a decade.
But they've always been right around there where you can at least pretend like they're in it.
No, you're right. The Steelers haven't been this bad like the Penguins are right now since like 2003 for a year, right?
Yeah.
It really stinks. It's, I it's fun to cover good teams. It's fun to cover. There's nothing. I know Chris has been in that press box in the playoffs in April and May. It's fun. It's electric. No, I miss that. I really do. And it might be a while for this team. And I got to be honest, this roster, I try to cover it objectively and fairly. There's a few guys on this team I've barely even spoken to. I think I said hi to Phil Tomasino once. Like, it's to the point where it's like all the guys I still have a certain relationship with, you know, there's only a few of them left. So after every game, it's like, hey, Sid, me again. What'd you think about this one? Hey, Rusty. I mean, it's funny the way it works because there's so much turnover in the roster now. And I think it's hard for the fans, too, because if ever there's been a spoiled fan base, oh, boy, the Penguins fan base, for really the Crosby generation of fans, as we like to call them, this is the first taste of losing. And it can be fun in a way. Like I mentioned Dave Molinari, he's the king of kind of making fun of them when they play a bad game. I love reading Dave's articles when they lose 7-1. You know they'll be very entertaining. But it wears on you a little bit. They're always in a bad mood. The readers don't want to read quite as much because the Penguins fans like reading about good times. Steelers fans are a little different. They get more worked up. I bet your articles get more hits when they lose. Penguins fans have always been different. They like to revel in the good times. They kind of like to just ignore the bad times a little bit. So I'm hoping business-wise they get good in a hurry again. That'd be great because it's getting hard writing about this team every game, let me tell you.
Well, when you've had one of the best, if not the best, or multiple of the top five players in the league on your roster for most of the last four decades, yeah. Like other than the Rico Fatta years, it hasn't been dry around here for the last, since in our lifetimes, really.
No, it hasn't. And I think what's happened though, even though Crosby especially is still really great, I almost think, I don't want to say people were bored by it, but that's Sidney Crosby. We've seen him play for 20 years. We know that there is a sense of, staleness, I think, with this team. Not just that they aren't good, but it's nothing that we haven't seen before. And it's a problem for the Penguins moving forward because they haven't just been really good for a long time. But you're right, Chris. They've always had that box office attraction, whether it be Crosby, Malkin, Jágr, Lemieux. In the future, they're probably not going to have a guy like that because there aren't many of those guys. And it'll be interesting to see if they can still sell all their tickets when they don't have one of those guys.
That win over the Rangers was the first time in like 4 years that they'd won a game without Crosby and Malkin both in the lineup. So this is going to be the last thing I'm going to ask you. Cabali will probably throw something stupid in at the end.
Sure.
I don't want to say is Gino done, but like this injury and 1 year left on his deal, like, is there a sense that he could just kind of quietly walk away this summer and not finish the contract?
I know our friend Mark Madden has reported that numerous times, that he has heard that Geno will leave after this season. And I'm not disputing. Mark has a lot of sources in the Penguins and in the hockey industry, so maybe there's something to it. I haven't heard that. My sense has always been that Malkin will play next season, which is the last year of his contract, and then he will retire at that point, I believe, which would be his 20th NHL season. But listen, if you've watched his career at all, you know he's slowing down significantly. And it's hard for him. I talked with him in Raleigh back in January, and you could see the look on his face. Like, this isn't fun for him right now. Like, he said, everybody in this league is so fast, and I'm not. And it's true. Like, you can see he just looks slow now compared to prime Malkin or even the last few years. So I don't think he's enjoying himself right now. I don't know that he'll pass up another $6 million next year. I suspect he will play out his contract, but he's still an okay number two center. But this is what the all-time greats tend to look like when they're almost 40. This isn't abnormal, but he's just kind of a guy now. There's nothing all that special about his game. But we should not forget how great he was. In his prime, I would suggest he was more physically dominant than even Crosby at times. But, you know, he clearly is slowing down.
I don't want to ask anything now because your smart-ass remark.
Oh, because you're so soft. You can't take the criticism.
Oh, no, he can't. He likes to give it. That's actually very accurate. Easy. I know this man well.
Well, I want to know where we see your podcast at and hear it. Why don't you give us a plug?
Yeah, it's Two for Talking. We're actually trying to push the YouTube numbers really heavily right now. So go on YouTube. Two for Talking, me and Joe Bartnick. It's very entertaining. Joe's a comedian. So before it actually publishes, I always have to go through and like edit to make sure he's not going to say anything that'll get us thrown in jail. But it's entertaining. It's kind of a mix of, hockey talk with some humor. We always talk a little bit of Steelers just for fun. We never talk Pirates because Joe hates the Pirates so much it's actually not worth it.
Yeah.
Which I think is valid after the offseason they just had. But go to YouTube, check it out, Two for Talking. We think you'll enjoy it. Usually the new ones usually drop. We're not as busy as you guys, but usually Monday nights or Tuesday mornings you can find the fresh ones. We do one every week. And we'll probably do a couple of extra ones with the trade deadline coming on March 7th. So there'll be a bunch that week.
Nice.
I think you need to get Harvey on your show as a guest. If you're talking about, you talk about Pirates.
Oh, no, absolutely not. We will absolutely get in trouble if we do that. There's no question about that.
you almost said it. I almost got you to say it.
Yeah, you almost did. This is live too. Yeah.
That was a close stuff. One. That was a this close
really,
one.
Really, really dangerous stuff. Yes.
All right. Follow him on X at @JoshYoey_PGH. You read all his stuff in The Athletic, but check out Two for Talking with Joe Bartnick also. Just like us, iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube. Josh, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck with the podcast, fellas. I've been watching. I enjoy it. And
thanks for being on.
This was a thrill. Thanks.
Yeah, we'll catch up soon, maybe after the deadline.
All right, you got it, guys.
All right, see ya. That's Josh Yoey. Kaboom, we're going to roll as well because, as advertised, Yoey showed up late, and now we don't really have time to get into a conversation about the other veteran quarterbacks that are out there and available, but we can save that for Friday. Maybe we'll do a mailbag. Who knows what we'll cook up for Friday. Got to thank our friends as well at Impact HVAC. Go to Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. They may be helping us cook up something else as well indirectly over the next couple of weeks. Dropping breadcrumbs, kaboom.
People want to be a part of it, man.
They do. So you're always welcome to be a part of it as well. Leave your comments on the YouTube page or on social media. Follow us there as well. He's Mark Cabali. He's going to go write some more stuff about SmackDown because it'll be a big one this Friday, he says. And I'm going to go play some country music on Y108. Sound like a deal, Kaboom? That's a yes. We'll see you later, everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say something else, but go.